Well, do you ever, this is a serious question, do you ever become discouraged by the fact that God does not always heal us in this life? Or that though we may experience the miracle of healing, the illness could return, or another illness could beset us? Well, while we're thinking about whether that bothers us or not, let's turn to Psalm 103. Please turn to Psalm 103. I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version today. And I'm going to start in verse 2, which reads, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." In verse 3, "Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." So what does this "heals all your diseases" mean? Was the statement all-inclusive? Did it mean that God will heal or that God can heal every disease? Is it poetic hyperbole? Is it a platitude? After all, we know that Paul writes to Titus in chapter 1 and verse 2 that God cannot lie. You and I have probably witnessed a healing or two in our lives, whether related to the common cold. If I had time, I'd tell you about one of mine. Or maybe even as exemplified in the Bible with what is unexplainable. What I mean by that, Christ, when he was here, healed instantaneously those who would never have recovered from things like leprosy, lameness. You know, we sang about these things going away in the first song today. Deafness, muteness, and even death. The apostles and the prophets also called upon the name of the Lord to perform such healings. These healings were unexplainable and unable to be reasoned, you know, except that it was a miracle. But how many more times has healing seemed either a long, drawn-out process or simply unfulfilled? You know, we believed God can heal. God requires us to believe. We relied on God to heal. We gave it all over to Him. We may have been anointed, which we are asked to do, as a witness for healing. So why does it not appear that we receive nearly as often these miraculous, instantaneous healings as are exclusively exemplified in the Bible? Well, as one fellow Christian speaking to my fellow saints, let me suggest we might be missing an opportunity to see just how much healing we actually do experience. Thinking of that verse, Psalm 103, verse 2 and 3, especially verse 3, I'm going to read from Gill's exposition of the entire Bible. Concerning the phrase he was reading from the King James, "Who healeth all thy diseases." Not bodily ones, though the Lord is the physician of the bodies as well as of the souls of men, and sometimes heals the disease of soul and body at once, as in the case of the paralytic man in the gospel. But spiritual diseases, or soul maladies, as Gill calls it, are meant here. The same with, quote, "iniquities," unquote, in the preceding clause. Remember in verse 3, "Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases." He considers those two phrases a re-emphasis one of the other. Okay, that happens in the Bible where there's emphasis for effect. And I'm not going to read it, but Expositor's Bible Commentary agrees. Sin is a natural, this is still reading from Gill's, is a natural, hereditary, epidemical, nauseous, and mortal disease. And there are many of them, a complication of them in men, which God only can cure. We can recall, we don't have to turn there to Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? That word for sick is Strong's number 605, Onash, A-N-A-S-H, Onash, a primitive root which means to be frail, feeble, or figuratively melancholy, desperate, even desperately wicked. King James Version uses the word wicked. But this one catches my attention. Incurable. Incurable. Sick. Woeful. So now I'm going to make a statement that I would like to convince you of the truth of, if you're not already convinced. That statement with this time that I have remaining. When we were baptized, or when you become baptized, we started a lifelong journey by which we are offered miraculous, daily healings. To start to support this statement, let's first read how Jesus Christ tied healing to hearts and minds. Go ahead and turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 39. Therefore they could not believe, and this is about the people, I believe, that could not understand the parables. For again, Isaiah said, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. So this equation of heal is with the heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, I'm going to go ahead and start because it's towards the end. You can go ahead and start turning there. Since the end is where I want to focus. Verse 13, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. And of course, this is talking about the first resurrection, the ultimate healing, going from physical to spiritual, corruptible to incorruptible. Verse 15, for it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Verse 16, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Healing does require our participation in the deepest sense of immersion. You could think of submersion. You could think of what we do when we are baptized. We don't just get sprinkled. Our whole body goes under into the grave, every bit of us, before the new man comes up. But as Paul just wrote, we still got that outer nature with us that slowly dies away in our lifetime. So it requires our participation. With King David, it can be simply expressed where he writes, at least in part expressed, the beginning, the foundation, in Psalm 119, verse 97, Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day. David thought on God's way constantly. And so we must also think and do according to God's way. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, Verse 17, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. He then goes on to express what that futility is. We skip down to verse 20. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard him about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. See, there's something that we have that is always in need of healing. Our heart is desperately incurable by itself, by us, by mankind. And to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now you see the Spirit of God involved there. And there is where you can see the daily renewal and the daily healing. When it comes to physical healing, the converted must realize that it is not always God's will to provide physical healing. But it is always, always God's will to provide spiritual healing. And we can be certain that what happens to our health physically is always going to be related to that. So our lives, whatever happens in them, God's really dealing with us from that spiritual perspective of changing us into the vessel He has designed us to be. So our sick hearts, they are the singular issue of God's love and concern for us. Our sick bodies are healed according to a combination of our faith and God's will as He focuses on our spiritual healing. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 19, with man, and this is to enter the kingdom, with man this is impossible. We do not know how to get into God's kingdom. We can't do anything to get ourselves into God's kingdom. We can try and try and try, and it's not going to happen. It is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God offers us healing power every day of our lives as we call upon that power in faith to heal our hearts so that we can run our race to its fulfillment, so that our sick hearts can be made whole. And as we look forward to the ultimate and otherwise impossible for us to do healing, the fulfillment of being changed from flesh to spirit at the first resurrection, if we can believe on that and hope in that, then let us look for the spiritual healing God offers us every day and know He will heal concerning any thought, any action, or any habit. Why? Because God is always at the ready to forgive all of our iniquities and heal all of our diseases.